Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for January 29th, 2013. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and today I'm speaking with Friedegund Meyer about a paper that appears in this week's issue of Science Signaling on the relationship between ER stress and drug resistance in melanoma. The endoplasmic reticulum, or ER, is a complex subcellular structure where a cell's proteins are made. Before a newly synthesized protein can leave the ER to perform its functions in the cell, it has to fold into its active conformation. Chaperone proteins in the ER help these newly synthesized proteins fold properly. ER stress results when a cell experiences adverse conditions that slow down or prevent protein folding, and this causes the cell to initiate the unfolded protein response, a series of events that can correct the block in protein folding. If the initial response to ER stress is not sufficient to restore normal ER function, then the unfolded protein response will eventually lead to the induction of a form of cell death called apoptosis. In a new paper that appears in this week's issue of Science Signaling, Meyer's group reports that vimurafenib, which is a drug used to treat a subtype of melanomas, kills cells by inducing ER stress. Meyer spoke to me by telephone from the University of Tübingen. Welcome, Dr. Meyer.
Thank you very much.
What sorts of things can cause ER stress and the unfolded protein response?
Endoplasmic reticulum stress, or short ER stress, is caused by disturbances in the structure or in function of the endoplasmic reticulum, and can result from expression of mutant proteins, perturbation of protein glycosylation, nutrient deprivation, in particular low glucose levels, alterations in the oxidation-reduction balance, hypoxia, acidification, changes in calcium concentrations, and drugs, for example, the classical ER stress-inducer Tapsigargin. These factors lead to the accumulation of mis- or unfolded proteins in the endoplasmic reticulum and trigger the activation of the so-called unfolded protein response pathway, or short UPR. And for explanation of the UPR pathway, you may have a look at our figure S1A. This pathway consists of three sensors, including ATF6, PERK, and IRE1. And under normal conditions, that is, when there's no ER stress around, these sensors are bound to the chaperone protein GRP78 and are inactive. Upon ER stress, unfolded proteins bind to GRP78, leading to the release of GRP78 from the sensors, thus triggering the unfolded protein response. This response reduces the accumulation of unfolded proteins by inducing UPR gene transcription, reducing global protein synthesis, and stimulating ER-associated protein degradation. And these activities serve to restore the normal ER function and to support the survival of the cell.
The proper functioning of the ER is vital for cell viability. So if the unfolded protein response can't restore normal ER function, it triggers apoptosis or cell death instead. How does the UPR initiate cell death?
If ER stress is too extensive or prolonged and the normal ER function cannot be restored, the UPR pathway will turn on a pro-apoptotic module, which triggers cell death and eliminates the cell. In a review article entitled Targeting Endoplasmic Reticulum Stress for Cancer Therapy, published in Frontiers in Bioscience last year, Axel Schönthal proposes the yin-yang principle of endoplasmic reticulum stress. To understand this principle, we may have a look at figure S1B. The chaperone protein GRP78 is the master regulator of the pro-survival yin module of the ER stress response. Upon ER stress, expression of GRP78 is induced in an effort to restore the normal function of the endoplasmic reticulum. The transcription factor CHOP, that is downstream of the sensor PERK, is a critical executor of the pro-apoptotic yang arm of the ER stress response. And activation of the sensor PERK phosphorylates the translation initiation factor EIF2-alpha, and phosphorylated EIF2-alpha leads to an increase in the abundance of the transcription factors ATF4 and CHOP. And CHOP induces the transcription of the pro-apoptotic protein BIM, which is essential for initiation of apoptosis.
In this paper, you looked at the effect of a drug called vimurafenib on ER stress. Vimurafenib is a drug that's used to treat melanomas that have a particular mutation in a kinase called BRAF. And this mutant form of BRAF drives cancer growth by stimulating the cells to grow. What led you to look at ER stress in cells treated with vimurafenib?
Yeah, good question. First, in a previous study, we observed that the pan-RAF inhibitor sorafenib, which also inhibits the mutated BRAF kinase, increased the abundance of the ER-stress-related genes, such as the transcription factors ATF4 and CHOP in melanoma cells. Second, Andreas Strasser's group reported that endoplasmic reticulum stress increases the levels of the pro-apoptotic protein BIM through CHOP-mediated transcriptional induction, and that BIM is essential for ER-stress-mediated apoptosis in a diverse range of cell types. And third, Peter Hirth's group demonstrated that the pro-apoptotic protein BIM plays a key role in BRAF inhibitor-induced apoptosis. And so we asked the question, does vimurafenib treatment of melanoma cells lead to a morphology typical of ER stress, that is swelling of the endoplasmic reticulum lumen? And fortunately, vimurafenib-treated cells showed distinct dilation of the endoplasmic reticulum.
How does vimurafenib cause ER stress, and how does that lead to cell death?
Figure 6 in our manuscript shows our hypothesis, the proposed mechanism of vimurafenib action. Vimurafenib induces endoplasmic reticulum stress by raising cytosolic calcium levels. We know that the classical ER stress inducer Tapsigargin inhibits an endoplasmic reticulum transmembrane calcium pump. And inhibition of this pump leads to massive leakage of calcium out of the endoplasmic reticulum, thus triggering massive ER stress. The mechanism that underlies vimurafenib-induced calcium mobilization remains to be investigated. Vimurafenib-induced ER stress triggers phosphorylation of the translation initiation factor EIF2-alpha through activation of the sensor PERK and leads to increased expression of ER stress-related genes, such as the transcription factors ATF4 and CHOP. As you remember, the critical executor of the pro-apoptotic arm of the ER stress response, resulting in the transcriptional induction of the pro-apoptotic protein BIM. Furthermore, vimurafenib inhibits phosphorylation of ERK, which suppresses the chaperone protein GRP78, the master regulator of the pro-survival module of the ER stress response, and further enhances the expression of the pro-apoptotic protein BIM. This is our hypothesis.
Vimurafenib is remarkably effective in treating cancers that are driven by a particular mutant form of BRAF, the V600E form of BRAF, but the cells eventually develop resistance to the drug. An idea that you propose in this paper is combining vimurafenib treatment with induction of ER stress to overcome the drug resistance. How would inducing additional ER stress over and above what's already present in the cancer cells or what's induced by the drug help to overcome the drug resistance?
Yeah, tumor cells experience chronic ER stress and show increased expression of the chaperone protein GRP78, the master regulator of the pro-survival module of the ER stress response. In melanoma, it has been suggested that resistance to ER stress-mediated apoptosis is mediated through increased expression of GRP78 and through activation of the Ruf-Meg-ERK and the PI3 kinase AKT mTOR signaling pathways. And resistance to ER stress-mediated apoptosis may be overcome by drugs that aggravate ER stress by different mechanisms and by drugs that suppress active defensive pro-survival components. In BRAF mutant melanomas, desvenmorphin induces ER stress and inhibits the Ruf-Meg-ERK pathway, resulting in ER stress-mediated apoptosis. In venmorphin-resistant melanoma cells, the Ruf-Meg-ERK and PI3 kinase AKT/mTOR pathways are activated, resulting in resistance to ER stress-mediated apoptosis. And tapsigargin-induced ER stress-mediated apoptosis in venmorphin-resistant melanoma cells, presumably through ER stress induction by a different mechanism and through inhibition of the AKT survival pathway.
So the idea is that you could overwhelm the cells by inducing ER stress through multiple pathways.
Yeah.
In your experiments, did that approach of treating the cells with both vimurafenib and an ER stress inducer work in all melanoma cells or only those with the V600E mutant form of BRAF?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. The ER stress inducers tapsigargin and tunicarmycin induced ER stress-mediated apoptosis in both BRAF-mutant and NRAS-mutant melanoma cell lines, that is, in BRAF wild-type melanoma cell lines. And vimorphinib induced ER stress-mediated apoptosis specifically in BRAF-mutant melanoma cell lines, but not in BRAF wild-type melanoma cell lines. So far, it's not clear if vimorphinib triggers ER stress without inducing apoptosis in BRAF wild-type melanoma cells. Actually, our current project investigates the question, how does vimorphinib induce ER stress in melanoma cells, meaning the mechanisms in detail. For example, do cytosolic calcium levels increase because the transmembrane calcium pump is inhibited, as tapsigargin does? The second question is vimorphinib-induced ER stress an off-target effect? And the third question, can we take advantage of vimorphinib-induced ER stress to establish effective combination therapies for patients with BRAF wild-type melanoma?
You mentioned that most or a lot of cancer cells have ER stress constitutively. They're always in a state of ER stress. Do you think that it might be worth investigating whether inducing extra ER stress in other types of cancers could also boost the effectiveness of other cancer drugs?
Yes, definitely. This is written in this article I mentioned before by Axel Schönthal. The title is Targeting Endoplasmic Reticulum Stress for Cancer Therapy. And in this paper, he works out all the different ways how you could aggravate ER stress and or suppress pathways which overcome ER stress-mediated apoptosis. He also speaks of multiple substances which can aggravate or induce ER stress, like proteasome inhibitors, celecoxib, and so on. Yeah, it's definitely a promising way to look if you want to develop new treatment strategies for cancer.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer, for speaking with me.
Thank you so much. It was really fun for us.
That was Friedegund Meyer, senior author of a paper that appears in the current issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by Beck and colleagues, and it's titled Vimurafenib Potently Induces Endoplasmic Reticulum Stress-Mediated Apoptosis in BRAF V600E Melanoma Cells. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.